In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Tomorrow, children, we have the long Lazarus Gospel for the resurrection of our Lord being foretold. And today, it's exactly 2 weeks until Holy Thursday. So the church is thinking of a resurrection already, and we have two resurrection stories, but not so long, in today's Mass. Do you remember Monday's Mass and how we talked about how sometimes you just have to do it yourself? I think that's one of the lessons from today's Mass as well, and from today's saint. I don't know if you've met the Sunamitess yet this Lent. She was a pagan lady, she and her husband, and the prophet of God, Eliseus, would go back and forth and pass through their city, probably on his way to talk to the king. He lived in Mount Carmel otherwise. And one day the Sunamitess got talking with her husband, saying, "He looks like a very nice prophet. Why don't we offer him a little room?" And so they did. They fixed him a nice room and a little bed and a little chair and a little ewer and basin to wash with. And whenever he needed to, he could spend the night there and then go on his way the next day. Well, he noticed they didn't have a son. So he asked one day, "You don't have a son?" And they said, "No." So he prayed to Almighty God, and God gave them a son, which was a big thing back then, a great grace. Well, one day he's on Mount Carmel, and he says to Gizi, his servant, "Gizi, look, here comes that Sunamitess." And then she's asked by the servant, "Gizi, everything okay? Your house fine, children?" And she says, "Oh, no, everything's fine." And she goes right up to the prophet, and she sort of locks her arms around his feet. And she says, "Did I ask you for a son?" It's very dramatic. And Gizi said, "Her soul is in bitterness, and the Lord hid it from me." So he realizes her son has died. He sends Gizi with his staff or his rod, and he says, "Don't talk to anybody on the way. You're representing God now. And just lay that right over the boy to raise him back from the dead." Well, he does, and nothing happens. That could be because Gizi was actually a rather wicked man. Remember Naaman, the leper who got healed? He went to see Naaman later on to get some of the money and some of the changes of garments for himself that the prophet wasn't interested in. And he actually had to be punished very much by Eliseus. Well, in any case, they say too that putting the rod over the dead boy, that symbolizes strong, harsh discipline, which doesn't always work with souls. Sometimes it takes something else. And so he realizes, the prophet does, "I've got to do it myself," which is often the case. So he goes, and he's praying all the time. And the dead boy's on his bed. And he lays over the dead boy, and he puts his eyes over the dead boy's eyes and his mouth over his mouth and so forth, his hands over his hands, and he prays for him. And then nothing happens right away. Even at Lourdes, sometimes the miracles didn't happen exactly right away. And then he walks up and down the house once and a second time, and then he goes back and he does it again. And the second time's the charm, because you have to persevere when you pray too, as well as be sort of gentle and humble, and you have to do the praying. You can't expect someone else to do it all for you. And this time, when he lays over the dead boy, he gasps, and he does it seven times to catch his breath. Seven, what would that be? The seven sacraments of the church that bring us to life or keep us in life and prepare us for, finally, eternal life. And then he gives the boy back to the Sunamitess, and she is very grateful indeed. So it's a long story. And it took quite a bit to raise the boy back to life. Our Lord's going into Nahum in the gospel, and he sees, this is a gospel we have in the summertime, and he sees the dead son, the only son of a widow, being carried off on the stretcher, and he to be buried, and our Lord just puts his hand on the wood that symbolizes our Lord being on the wood of the cross, and touches it, and says, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." That's all. And he rises up, and he gives him back to his mother, and everybody's happy. They say our Lord was thinking of his blessed mother when he worked that miracle, but was also a foretelling of his death and also of his resurrection, which are our way of dying to sin and rising again. So the church is getting us ready for the great events that are coming. The saint we have today is called St. Clement Mary Hofbauer. He brought the Redemptorist order to the German-speaking lands during the terrible era of the Masonic revolutions and Napoleon and all of that. Well, one day when he was preaching in Vienna, he said, "The youth of Vienna are so wicked, they're not even worthy to be carried to the city dump in a wheelbarrow." And he got into trouble because he always had the police after him. They always spied on him when he was preaching. They do that in Europe right now. That happens again. Priests have to be sort of careful or not careful for what they want to say. Well, so then he was arrested, and he was told he had to take it back. He said that was insulting to the youth of Vienna. So he got up in the pulpit the next Sunday, and he said, "I have to take that back." And he said, "The youth of Vienna are worthy to be taken to the city dump in a wheelbarrow." So he said exactly the opposite. I don't know if that was the end of it or not, but he was always getting into trouble, and he was always being persecuted, and everything he did seemed to come to a dead end. But he did wonderful work at the end of his life with young people. He had he was a chaplain for some nuns, and he always had his doors open, like St. Philip Neri, and the young men who were going to college, they would come and go, might have a meal with him, or stop and ask him some questions, or he'd give them an informal class, or have a little talk with them, and he did a lot of good for souls. That was at the end of his life, but all of his life, he was the only one, very often, to keep things going for the Redemptorist order, and so he did. They say, for God and for the Catholic Church, he did just as much as Napoleon did for wickedness and for evil in France at that same era. He never gave up. He always kept on going, as we must indeed do. Oh, he's a particular patron of ours, St. Clement Mary Hofbauer is, because for a long time he was the pastor of St. Benno's Church in Warsaw, and he took care of the German-speaking people that lived there, as well as the Poles, and he had what was called, he and the other priests there, a perpetual mission. Every day they preached 5 sermons, and they gave convert classes, and they heard confessions, and they had benediction, and they had 3 high masses a day, and one of them was a solemn high mass with an orchestra. I always wondered how he managed that, but never mind, he did, and it was all for God's glory. And they did that every day, and he did so much good that the Masons just couldn't stand it, and eventually he was put into jail and thrown out of the city. He always had a hard time even to find a place where he could live and work, but he kept on living and he kept on working for God's glory. Why? He realized, if this is going to be done, no one else is going to do it. I'll have to do it myself, just as Eliseus the prophet realized on Mount Carmel so long ago. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.